Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence, the awesomeness of your presence. We thank you, Father, that you have already seated us in high places with you. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, the angelic host. We thank you, Father God, that we are privileged to sit in your presence this day and to feel your touch and to know your love. We thank you for this, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. In the church, must be aware of the fact that God has been shaking the church, and you've either allowed God to change you or you stayed as you were. The fence was torn down a long time ago, which you erected because there never was a fence. And now God is working on the world to bring them in to do the works that the church would not do. There's a seriousness in the atmosphere that very few are picking up. And the seriousness is the fact that I don't know where a lot of the church stands at this given moment. You know God, you know His Word, but you don't want to live for God or really believe His Word. And you aren't winning souls to Christ. Instead, you're losing the souls that Christ wanted you to win. God has been speaking a lot to me about the church is dead and He couldn't resurrect it. And now He has to move on. There's too much confusion in the body of Christ because the ministers who don't want to change won't preach the truth. And therefore, they're not right and they're leading their sheep astray. God's told us many times to watch the fruit. I'm hearing Him say the fruit of repentance. And if you're really in the Spirit and you're looking around, you're not seeing fruit in the body of Christ. Let's talk about what God's... This is what God spoke to me to give to you this morning. Birth pangs or labor pains. God said the winds of change are changing everything around you. Absolutely nothing will be the same when the winds cease blowing. I have purposed a thing and so shall it be. I have spoken multitudes of blessings over my children and the blessings will flow like liquid rain. I want to stop there because I want to say this. We watched the video Wednesday night about the man who went to hell, right? We went home Wednesday night and the boys and I, we were talking about what went on in the video, and all of a sudden, I said to each one of them, have you received Jesus as your Savior? And they both said no. So I sat there and I led them individually into receiving Jesus as their Savior. How many of you, you know, it sort of surprised me, and I never thought about it. Have they ever done that? Even though they're raised, you know, with me, and even though they sit in church every service, have they really received Jesus Christ? Now, how many of you are making sure that your children don't go to hell? How many of you are making sure that your children have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? You know, it's your job to sit down and ask them, have you? Now, if they don't want to, then you can't make them, but it's your job to check and see what's going on with your children. Too many people are believing that once saved, always saved, which is not in the Bible. It said you have to work out your salvation daily. And too many are thinking, well, I'll continue in my sin, and then when I'm finished, I'll just say I'm sorry, and everything will be all right. And, you know, you might never reach that day. You could die before you decided to get out of your sin. then you'd be in hell. Many, many people we've read about who've gone to hell have said they were surprised at who was in hell. And those who went to heaven said they were surprised who was not in heaven. The young man we listened to Wednesday night said many ministers were in hell. And I believe that because I watch the fruit and the fruit's not there. The fruit of righteousness. But I just want to bring out the fact you need to set your children down and say, you know, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? But before you can lead your children into that, you yourself have, you must have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and your life should be changed. All right? Isaiah 14:24 says, the Lord Almighty has sworn, surely as I have planned, so it will be. And as I have purposed, so it will happen. I will crush the Assyrian in my land. On my mountains I will trample him down. His yoke will be taken from my people, and his burden removed from their shoulders. This is a plan determined for the whole world. This is a hand stretched out over all nations. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? So what we had read was the winds of change are changing everything around you. So the things around about you are going to be changed either for the good or for the better. Depends on where you're standing. God went on to say the dark influences over America are being destroyed day by day. And soon you shall see what my mighty hand has been doing behind the scenes. With my son, President Donald J. Trump, doing the mighty works I have foreordained him to accomplish, America will once again thrive. My church has risen, and they know from whence cometh their help. They understand the fullness of what I am calling them forth to do at this present time. Many are coming into the kingdom of light, and they shall be mighty soldiers of the cross, ready to take up the full armor and fight the good fight of faith. And whenever God says, my church has arisen, and they know from whence cometh their help, God's talking about those who truly allowed God to touch them and about those who have allowed God to change them. And they have died out to their flesh 100%, and they only want what Jesus wants for their life. Their life has ended. Now Revelation 12:1-2 says, and a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And God called this birth pains or labor pains. God said, the world does not understand that they are in labor pains waiting for the second coming of my son, Jesus. The world does not understand that they are in labor pains waiting for the second coming of my son, Jesus. They are full of expectation and anticipation, but they do not understand to the fullness of what is going on around about them. And isn't that the truth? God says, as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual, and I need to be about my business. There is so much preparation to be done at this given time. Just as in the natural, there is much preparation for a new baby, the same is true of the second coming of my son Jesus. In Matthew 24:3-8 says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, that was Jesus, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of the birth pains. So you see, and again, God awesome. And we truly are paving the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. And when I was talking about it to somebody, I went to say something, and God said, don't you dare ever put a date or a time on when my son's going to arrive, and I really wasn't going to do that. But even what I was saying, God did not want me to say. You know, we don't need to know what hour he's coming, what day he's coming. We just know he's coming. And if you're really like the 10 virgins, the 5 wise ones, then you'll be walking in the Spirit, and you'll be saved continually, and you won't be concerned about what day he's coming. You'll just be working his work. All right, the church and the world are trying, God said the church and the world are trying to put a name to what is happening, but they do not know what to call it, so it is in total confusion. Only those who are called by my name will understand the fullness of what is playing out at this given time. At 1 Thessalonians 5, 3-6 says, while people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. The church is not fulfilling that scripture. The church, for a long time, has not been doing her part of what God has called the church to do. God said, since when can you abort the second coming of my son? There is no abortion in the picture. He will come at a time when you least expect, and he will bring his children on home. When and where is a time that only I know. And 2 Peter 3:10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. And then God said, you see, the church is not used to doing things my way. So they are floundering in the sea of indecision, and it is taking them off course. They are trying to delay the birth, but the birth will take place exactly like planned. The Holocaust of confusion has hit the church. Why? Because the church was not at its post listening for my voice and obeying it when they did hear. My church has a funny way about them. They think they can keep going on day after day, floundering in the sea of self-deception. Excuse me. And then when the darkness falls, they call upon their maker, expecting him to drop everything and run to their aid. My word does say, I will never leave nor forsake you, but it also tells you to be watching, for you know not the day nor hour of the coming of the Son. And Matthew 24:42 says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But I know this, that if the master of the household had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. It would not have let his house be broken into. The scripture says, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. You know, I want to stop here and say this. You know, they talk about the rapture. And God told me one time they need to stop talking about the rapture and understand it. The day you die is the rapture for you. And you really don't. God has not told you you're going to die on December the 5th, 1926, did he? So you don't know what day or hour you're going to die. So what you have to be doing is being constantly ready for the return of Jesus. Or constantly ready for the time that Jesus calls you on home. You don't know. The Bible even tells you, you don't know if you have tomorrow. You make all your plans, but you don't know if you're even going to be here to fulfill those plans. God said, church, it is looking up time. It is time for you to forget about yourself and be about the Father's business. It is high time you close your ears to the clamor of the world and open them to the voice of your Maker. And then I put down Matthew 11:15, because God preached on this one time. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I'm warning the church this morning that you are in a bad state. And you better be listening to what God is saying to you. I've been crying for 2 days because of the people who are going to die and go to hell because they think that they are okay and they're not. I talked to my daughter last night and I was crying. I said, I just can't quit this because people who think they're going to go to heaven will never see heaven. They sit in the house of God, they preach the word, they prophesy, and they're never going to see heaven. It's sad because that does not have to happen. You have enough of the word in you to make heaven your home. And people who we know saying there is no hell, you are really in a state of delusion. I've been there 3 times. I can tell you there's a hell. And I sure don't want nobody to go there. God said the earth is about to explode with the magnificence of the second coming. But it is only those who have ears to hear that will hear the trumpet blast and see the clouds split wide open. Oh, what a glorious day that will be for those who have been watching and waiting. But woe to the ones that had no oil and were living life as usual. In Matthew 25:3 says, the foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. In other words, you're the lamp. There's no spirit in you. And you're still doing the things of the world. And don't tell me you can't change because you can. The reason why you can't change is because you don't want to fight. You don't want to do what you need to do in order to set yourself free and keep yourself free. You have been so used to indulging yourself that you just think that's life. That is not life. That is death. You keep going back into the same old cesspool that God pulled you out of. Well, I'm here to tell you he's not going to do it again. He's not going to do it again. God said, do you know in my kingdom there is no life as usual? My kingdom is full of anticipation 24/7. My kingdom is constantly on the move, getting things ready for the war of the ages. Read that again. Do you know, God says, do you know in my kingdom there is no life as usual? My kingdom is full of anticipation 24/7. My kingdom is constantly on the move, getting things ready for the war of the ages. So I looked up the war of the ages, and from what I found, this is the final battle of God versus Satan. God said, why do you think the gross darkness has been creeping across the land? The enemy knows this showdown is coming, and he is fighting with everything he has. And Revelation 20, verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them, that's the church, he was deceiving the church and the world, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Every war ever started was started by the devil. Church, it's time you wake up. It's time that you go out there and you do the things God is calling you forth to do. I don't know if it was in the daily word I just gave or if it was in the bulletin, but God said he does not have time to come back and teach you all over again. I think it was in a word in the last couple of days, wasn't it? So, you know, God's done with you. He's not going to do no more for you. He called you and he wooed you and you still decided you liked the flesh better and you did what God was doing. So he's finished you. He does not have time to keep coming back and teaching you over and over and over again. And he's warned us of that. So this is not a thing that he all of a sudden put upon us. He's been warning us this day was going to come. God said, you better believe he is not asleep at his post. He's talking about the enemy. He has arrayed every host of darkness against the true and living church. He is making sure that all those who are sitting idly by will be taken into his kingdom of darkness to be tormented day and night. God said, children, you are in the birthing room. Do not fight against the winds of adversity that are blowing at this given time. Just lay back and breathe. Go with the flow. You cannot hold back the baby. It is coming upon the land, and nobody knows when that is going to happen. The birthing room is buzzing with excitement. Live in the land of expectation, not exasperation. See that? The birthing room is buzzing with excitement. Live in the land of expectation and not exasperation. For the birthing room only produces pure joy. The expectant mother and father gather around a precious gift from the heavenly places. You also need to gather around this time period with pure joy at what is being produced in the heavenly kingdom. This is the final step before the trumpet sound. When the great harvest has been brought in, when the baby has been birthed, the trumpet sound will be heard, and all those who have joined themselves to me will sit in heavenly places, enjoying the sounds of heaven as the battle of the ages takes place. Are you honestly do not understand even what God is saying to you this morning? This is such a serious time, and if you're really walking in the Spirit, most of the time, you really, all you can do is just sit and contemplate and listen to what the Father's saying. There is such warfare going on above us, and you're not even aware of it. You're just going around your daily business of everyday life, and you're being sucked into the vacuum of darkness. I've been weeping over my personal family because they know God, they know the Word, and they live with me every day, and I'm always talking about you need to get yourself right, and they're looking at me grinning. They're not going to make it. They're just not going to make it. But they believe any time I can just say I'm sorry and then I'll be all right. It's time that you weep over your own families too. It really is. And cry out to God. Get their attention before it's too late. But you're so busy you can't even get your own self right. So therefore you're always working with your own self. And you're never out there saving souls the way God wanted us to, right? Children, birth the baby. Is that what I meant? Children, birth the baby. Take pleasure in the birth. Do not be walled in by confusion. Take your stance in what my word tells you and move forward. Heaven is in a forward momentum, and you must join hands with heaven and move forward. I need to tell the ones God called up here last service. God told me last night, warn them. I called, but few were chosen. Some of you sat back in your seats. You were upset because you weren't called up here. But those, and I told those ones that called, I forgot what he even did for you. I told you this is very, very serious. And God, and some of you did not take it serious enough. And God told me last night, many are called, but few are chosen. He called you out of your seat and brought you up here. He placed something in your hand, fire or something. But you're playing around with that fire and it's going to destroy you. So if I was you that didn't get called up, I would say, whew. Come on. You know, you think that the things I tell you to do is something I just play in games. I don't play games with God or anybody else as far as that goes. I don't play games with life. I only do what God tells me to do. And then that's as far as I need to go. Then from then on, it's in God's hands. But then if he's working with one of you and you're taking it lightly, then it's in your hands and you're in trouble. I'm not. The blood's off of my hands. Now the ball's in your park. God said, I am all about the business of birthing this new era of miracles, this new era of healing like this land has never seen before. I am in control of all diseases, and I'm about my business of weeding out the unclean from the clean. And you can find that in Ezekiel 22:26 and then 44:23. You will see many signs, wonders and miracles take place as my mighty hand moves all across this great nation. Where the enemy has caused derision, you will see calm and peace. Where the darkness thought it had total victory, you shall see total defeat. Children, continue to look up, for your redemption doth draweth nigh. Let's read that again now. Pay attention to what you're reading. You will see many signs, wonders, and miracles take place as my mighty hand moves all across this great nation. Where the enemy has caused derision, you will see calm and peace. And where the darkness thought it had total victory, you shall see total defeat. In other words, the darkness will be defeated. Children, continue to look up, for your redemption doth draw nigh. I have purposed a strategic plan for your lives, and I am bringing it to total fruition. Even as we speak, let's read that again. I have purposed a strategic plan for your lives, and I am bringing it to total fruition even as we speak, period. One day, dull. The next day is so full of excitement that you will not be able to contain yourselves. Have I not spoken it, and will it not come to pass? Ezekiel 24:14 says, I am the Lord. I have spoken. It shall come to pass. I will do it. I will not go back. I will not spare. I will not relent. According to your ways and your deeds, you will be judged, declares the Lord God. God is tired of the church playing church. He's tired of the church causing church to go to hell with them. And God is not going to relent. He has purposed a thing in his heart, and he is going to finish it. You need to be so walking in the Spirit that you can hear God's voice 24/7, not just once a week. You need to be so walking in the Spirit so strong that God, I don't care what you're doing, God can all of a sudden speak to you and tell you of something that's either very, very important or just something nonchalant. Are you there? Are you at that place of freedom where your mind is totally stayed on Christ? You're still going about your business, but your mind is so stayed on Christ that you hear his still small voice in any given second. God said, every place you set your feet shall become holy ground, and because of the holiness, many souls shall be brought into my kingdom. I give all of my churches authority to tread on the enemy's head. You are part of that church. Go forward today empowered to destroy the darkness with your shadow, as Peter did, and see great and mighty works take place just in the days of Acts chapter 2. Every place you set your feet shall become holy ground, and because of the holiness, many souls shall be brought into my kingdom. Why do you think that enemy has you in lockdown? You're not out there walking anywhere. You're confined to your home, and therefore you're not taking that holiness anywhere. It's just, and some of you have even lost the holiness in your feet. You become complacent. You're content to sit in your home and do absolutely nothing, play your games or whatever you do, and just let the government keep you. You like socialism. I thought about you, Barbara. You're out there selling real estate. Your feet are going everywhere. You have busy feet. So you should say, you should be saying to yourself, I used to say this all the time when I worked, every place I set my foot becomes holy ground. I don't care where I went, even to the bathroom. So because other people are going to go in that bathroom too. And when they walk in here, they're walking on holy ground. See, I know I'm sold out to God, and so I know that holiness is in my feet. And I also know I could lose that holiness too. So I work diligently to keep it. Are you understanding this? Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and many signs. And just stop there. God told us that we are living Acts chapter 2. The church does not believe it. And that is why we're not seeing the result of Acts chapter 2. The church just reads the word and just reads the word. You can look at pornography, remember every detail of that pornography, but you don't remember what you read in the word. All right, then we're going to read Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And above it in my Bible, it said many signs and wonders were done. Now, Acts chapter 5, verse 12. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Do you see that? The disciples were so godly that the other people didn't dare even intermingle with them on that porch. Verse 14 said, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Why were they added? Because these disciples walked in holiness, in righteousness, purity of heart, and they spoke the truth with signs, wonders, and miracles following. Verse 15 says, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats. All right, let's go back in 14. It says, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. So much faith, that's how much faith they had in the disciples. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. We have not come to that place yet. I cry out to God diligently day in and day out because we used to be at that place. Why are you holding back the signs and wonders and miracles? He's weeding out the church because you're not going to ride on the coattails of anything. Anybody. You either get yourself filled with the Spirit or you're out. And that's just the way it is. That was what God just spoke to me. So God said, there is absolutely nothing you shall not be able to accomplish as you walk forward with the mindset of not looking back. See that? There is absolutely nothing you shall not be able to accomplish as you walk forward with the mindset of not looking back. Many, and I say many, are waiting in the valley of decision for you to grasp hold of what I am conveying to you this day. You need what God is saying, you need to grab hold of what he said here today, because there's somebody out there that he wants you to send you to that needs to hear the truth of the gospel. And you have to be walking in that truth so that the Spirit of God can convict the other person to go ahead and have what you have. God said, why do you not just go out there? That's where I'm at. Yeah. Why do you not just go out there and walk in signs, wonders, and miracles? The atmosphere is full of miracles. Pull on them and watch and see what I perform through you. Why do you fear walking in the miraculous? Without faith, you can accomplish nothing. That was the purpose of me trying to get you to walk in unadulterated faith. Now, let's just stop there. How many of you really believe that you're going to be able to lay hands on, raise the dead? Let's put it that way. If you're not walking in wholeness, don't even try to raise the dead. The devil will work through you and he'll raise them. You need to be walking in righteousness and holiness, and you need to get your mind stayed upon Christ and then go forth and do let God use you to do great signs, wonders, and miracles. So many sitting in the house of God today deceiving themselves that they are just fine and they are not. How many of you continually check yourself to make sure you're walking where God wants you to walk? How many times does the enemy come and try to convince you that you're not, and you cry out to God? Before you even say a word, he said, you're fine. You're right where I want you to be. You're fine. He knows everything that's going on in your life, absolutely everything. And God doesn't lie to you. He doesn't come and caress you and say, oh, you're okay when you're going to hell. He doesn't do that. But the body of Christ wants the pastor to do that, don't they? They want to hear nice, encouraging, uplifting, prophetic word. Don't you dare tell me my faults, because then I'm going to call you a false prophet, even though I know it's the truth. I want you to smooth my feathers, not ruffle them. Jesus ruffled a lot of feathers, and God is ruffling a whole lot more. God said, my promise to you, this is his promise to you, whatever you place your hands to do, I will accomplish through you. Remember, as I was with Moses, I shall be with you. As you move forward in complete confidence in me, knowing that I will show up on the scene when you decide it is time for miracle-working powers to be seen. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now let's read that again. God said, my promise to you, this is his promise, whatever you place your hands to do, I will accomplish through you. Remember, as I was with Moses, I shall be with you as you move forward in complete confidence in me, knowing that I will show up on the scene when you decide it is time for miracle-working powers to be seen. So he's saying, as he was with Moses, he'll be with you when you decide that he's there. Now let's read Joshua 3:7 over again. The Lord said to Joshua, today, and this is today, right? I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now I'm going to say something that it's not pride. I'm just going to use this as an example. You know that God has used me to do many, many signs, wonders, and miracles. He's used me to raise the dead. He's used me in many, many ways. Now, you could say, you could read that scripture and say, God, as you did with Pastor Barbara, I want you to do with me. In other words, and you're saying, God, you allowed her to raise the dead, you allow me to raise the dead. You allowed signs, wonders, and miracles to work through here for 30-some years. I want you to do the same with me. You see what I'm saying here? It's not exalting me. It's known fact that these things happen in my life because I walk with God that close. Now, but see, you can't ask God to do that if you're not walking close with him. You can't. I mean, you can, but it's not going to work. God said, I am the day star, and I go with you always. I never lag behind. If there is any lagging, it is on your part. Take up your mantle of miracles. See that? Take up your mantle of miracles and go forth in my name and show the world what your Father will do through those who believe. Your mantle of miracles, not somebody else's, but your mantle of miracles, that you get that mantle of miracles as you have faith to believe. But you have to have all the other prerequisites before that too. 2 Peter 1:19 says, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And I put that scripture down because God said, I am the day star. So I want a scripture to back that up. And it says in 2 Peter 1:19, and we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Then God said, the morning star, the day star is God. And remember, I am with you always. God sees every solitary thing that you do. You think you're fooling him. You are not. You can fool me. You can fool the rest of the world. But you can't fool God because he sees it all. Remember my story about me fasting for 40 days. On the 40th day, I took a peanut, ran up steps. He said, where are you going? I said, I don't want nobody to see me break my fast. He said, I see you all times. So I don't care what you're trying to hide from other people. God is the one you need to be concerned about. What are you hiding from him? Nothing, because he sees all things. Some of you are still carrying a baby, and God's trying to get it birthed, and you won't let it come forward because you don't want to give up that piece of flesh that brings you so much pleasure. Go ahead and hang on to it because it's going to kill you. The baby's going to be stillborn inside of you, and it will kill you. This is a very serious message this morning, and you need to understand the seriousness of the hour. And you need to get your head out of the sand and get it back up into the heavenly places. And you need to start living the truth, just not pretending you're living the truth. Too many are sitting even in this house of God this morning. You're not living where you know you should be living with God. You're trying to make people believe you're okay, but you're really not. This is not condemnation. This is get your head out of the sand. Face the truth of who you really are and what you're really doing and get it right with God. And I know there's many people that come into the house of God only when they need God. And then once God meets their need, you don't see him again until then they need have another need. God is not pleased with that, never has been, never will be. And God said, I make my sun to shine on the righteous, but on the infidel the sun is hidden. I don't know where you're at with God, but I know some of you are really close to busting hell wide open. And you're pretending to be something you're not. So you need to right now, as you sit in your seats, repent. Tell God you're sorry. But don't ever go back into your mess again. Because God is tired of false repentance. He's tired of you pretending with him that you want something you're not. God's telling me you have false values. Those false values will take you out of his hand. If you're truly ready to birth that baby that's in you, the altar's open. Do not come to this altar and play games. I'm tired of watching that too. And I know God is too. If you're really serious with God, and you really want to birth that baby, you want to get rid of that mess in your life, you come to the altar and God's going to meet you there. The altar's open.